Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
I want to give you a stat that I feel like is, you can either bury your head in the sand and act like everything's going to be okay, or you can accept we've got a problem. And as we keep repeating today, because it is fun.
What are you guys going to do about it?
All right, Cliff. All right, Kyler. All right, offense. What are you guys going to do about it? And granted, listen, the defense stunk at times in this game too. But if you don't have four straight three and outs, and you score more than 21 points and your offense basically gave up 10, your offense only beat itself 21-10 yesterday. They gave up 10 points to the Cardinals. And I'm not talking about the defense. I'm saying the Cardinals' offense gave 10 points to the Rams. And they only scored 21 because I don't really care about that last touchdown when the Rams are playing an Ole defense. But here's the stat that I've researched a little bit, and I wonder if Cliff is really going to listen to this and kind of wake up to it. Right now, the Cardinals are sixth in total offense. Not a problem at all when you're sixth in total offense. Of course, you want to be top five, but you're sixth place. That's good. And if he hangs his whole hat on that, he's lying to himself. Because here's what's going to scare you. In the last three games, they're 30th.
Yeah. There you go.
I mean,
yes.
I mean, three games is not a season.
Yes.
But when you look at it in the context of right now and you see other teams are saying, I see what this guy did. I see what this guy did. They don't use this exact phrase in football. But I love the phrase in baseball, and it has everything to do with a scout. The book is out on him.
Yes.
And that's what you say all the time when a guy has started off well, a rookie comes up and he does well. And it's like, oh, so the scouts study. All they do is watch. Well, what about this? What about this? I think there's a hole right here. If we hit him with sinkers, if we hit him with a slider at this point in a 1-1 count, he swings and misses every time. Now you got him 1-2. You know, whatever it is. They study like crazy, and it's up to you to change.
It's up to them.
As a major league player to figure it out. Say, okay, this is now how they're attacking me. I've got to change. Well, Cliff, great job. You got the offense to the number one offense in the NFL yardage-wise. You did it. It's wonderful. And defensive coordinator said, okay, can you handle this? Now you're 30th. There's two teams in all of the NFL worse than you in the last three games.
Yeah.
That's a big enough sample size to say they know what they're doing. Do you know what you're going to do about it?
Absolutely, Douglas. Honestly, there's got to be some type of adjustment right now. It has to happen today. There's got to be an adjustment. What do you do, Basinonians? That is the question. First of all, you understand Cliff Kingsbury knows more about the game of football than I'll ever dream about knowing. Okay? Understand that, ladies and gentlemen. Secondly, every player on the offense needs to play better. Having said that, and believe me, it's hard for me to say it, but what should change? What do I change, ladies and gentlemen? Everything. And everything has got to be put on the table. You kill your sacred cows offensively, and you put Kyler Murray under center. Now listen, I have no idea what I speak of here, because for all I know, Kyler Murray's looking at Cliff Kingsbury going, I won't do it, coach. I have no idea if that is the case, ladies and gentlemen. I know that in training camp and in preseason games, we've seen it from time to time. We've seen them put Kyler Murray under center. But for all I know, he's sitting there in a quarterback room with Cliff Kingsbury saying, there's no way, coach, I'm not going to do it. I have no inside
either
information.
Either way, one of those two are being stubborn, if that's
to
the
me,
case.
To me, you run the tackle zone offense and the package of plays that come with it. Try it. You keep your offense and you use this offense as an option, an extension of everything else you do. Once again, it's an expansion of the football universe, Basinonians. It's not a contraction. I'm not saying the Arizona Cardinals need to take their offense and scrap it all. They don't. What they need is an addendum in addition to. I think putting him under center, what, you get in the pistol, you get in the shotgun, why not put him under center? It's just something else that a defense has got to work on throughout the entire week.
With you as a Cardinals fan, if you're sitting at home, if you were sitting at home yesterday watching the game, how frustrated were you on every Jared Goff bootleg?
First of all, yes, the bootleg.
And I mean all of the passes off of it, or even just the handoff off of it, when people are worried about where he's going with it.
It's the tackle zone.
And then I asked this question, do you think Kyler's faster than Jared?
Yes.
Do you think Kyler would be an even bigger threat doing that than Jared Goff? And if Cliff Kingsbury is so good at stealing plays, at what he's admitted to left and right, and I love that about him, why wouldn't you mix in some of those?
The tackle zone, ladies and gentlemen, it's a stretch play. You've all seen the stretch play. It is something that dominates the college landscape as well as dominates the pro landscape, the tackle zone. Well, the Rams basically have built their entire offense around one play. You hear me talk about this over the years, of course. Rundown situation. That really is who you are. First and 10, second and 1-6. Because on third and obvious pass situations, base and no needs, everybody throws the ball. Everybody throws the ball. Everyone uses protections. Here we go. We're going to put you in the shotgun. We're going to throw the ball. Bada bing, bada boom. Third and 8+. This is what we're going to do. What really defines who you are as an offense is first and 10 and second and 1-6. Classic rundown situation to me. And you look at what the Rams did in first and 10 and second and 1-6. The entire offense is predicated on one play. And this is not the first time this has been the case in the National Football League. Isn't that right, Mike Shanahan and the Denver Broncos? That's all they did, is build an entire offense, Alex Gibbs, as the offensive line coach, on one play. The tackle zone, or the stretch play. Call it what you will. The bootlegs and the waggles, and a waggle is nothing but a bootleg to the weak side, ladies and gentlemen, the weak side of the formation. A bootleg is a boot to the strong side or strength of the formation. So you've got the tackle zone, the bootleg, and the waggles. And then there's the awesome play action that comes off of the tackle zone. You snap the ball, the quarterback's under center. He takes three steps running to the mesh point. And here comes the back, right? How many times did you see Peyton Manning do this? How many times in this offense did you see him do it? Stretching the ball out. And those linebackers on the second level, what do, Doug Lees? They freeze. They have to honor the fact that you might give them the ball, and it might be the tackle zone because it's rundown situation. And then suddenly you pull it out of the back's belly and you take three steps right back, straight back in the middle of the pocket. Now all of a sudden those backers look and go, oh my goodness, he didn't hand it off. And they turn and they run. They run with their backs to the quarterback because they know it's play action. Hosed. And here comes the deep in with a post over the top of it. This is where chunk throws happen. When you're able to run the ball on a tackle zone, you use the boots, you use the waggles, and you also have this play action that is absolutely awesome. Now listen, once again, this is fundamentally base stuff that I'm talking about right here. And I have no idea if Kyler Murray's laughing at the notion of running something so benign, so mundane as this package of plays and refuses to get under center. I don't know how he feels about that, but it's something I would try. You just have to look at Jared Goff and the Rams, what they did offensively and what they have been able to do offensively. Just look at that. Protect the ball better, Jared Goff, but that offense is predicated and built on one play.
Well, they got 463 yards yesterday. And granted, you might say this question is a little too focused to fall into the category of what you're talking about. But I kind of feel like we are dealing with some stubbornness here.
Hey, Cliff, what's your motto when it comes to, you know, short down yardage and sneaking a quarterback up the middle?
Yeah, it's not really our deal right now.
Now, you never mentioned a quarterback sneak. That was never part of your conversation. But I'm just referring to when I hear a head coach say, yeah, that's not really our deal, that to me is total mantra.
Yeah, I would agree with what you're saying, but is that because Kyler's saying I don't want to do it?
And either way, somebody is being stubborn. Now, granted, right. in that question, it's only quarterback sneak related, but I believe it's offensively related to a quarterback being under center. Coming up next, it's your turn. There we go.
602-260-9870.
It's 7:15. That means it's time for a listeners only meeting.
Come win it now.
You get to fix this problem. What does this team need to do to win again? It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford. The listeners only meeting on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Oh, yeah.
602-260-9870.
The listeners only meeting is where you get to get it off your chest what's going on. And we've had a couple weeks where we were correctly going negative. Now it's time to look at not just the Giants, just winning a game. Just winning a game. Your question today. What does this team need to do? Maybe even today. What do they need to do to just simply win a football game? Sal in Phoenix, good morning. You're on with Doug and Wolf. Sal, what does this team need to do to win a football game?
Let me tell you what they need to do. They need to get rid of that, the kicker. The what do you call it? Zane Gonzalez. He's not consistent. So you need to get rid of him and get somebody that needs to make them points. That's what I'm thinking.
Thank you, Sal.
Okay, Sal, appreciate that right there. Honestly, I'm not going to put Zane Gonzalez in my top 10, I think, right now. I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong.
I think you'd make my top 10.
There's no doubt about it. But, again, I think there's bigger fish to fry out there.
Yeah, I totally agree that when you miss that field goal at the end of the half, that's now official. That's official now. It's in his head. He's a problem. I love Zane, and he will probably figure it out and get it back with somebody else.
That's exactly right. Here's what's going to happen. Zane Gonzalez is going to figure it out probably with somebody else and have a 10 to 12-year career in the NFL.
And I accept that. But right now in this season, when you're 6-6 and it's this close, I don't think you can sit here and wait. But I also agree with you. Really? I mean, out of everything that's going on, do you think 3 points makes that big of a difference yesterday in the way with the offense going 4 straight 3-and-outs? Don in Avondale, good morning, Don. What's the number one thing this team needs to do today and this week to win a football game?
Good morning, fellas. How you doing, man?
Good.
Hey, listen, I just want to say, you know, we don't realize, now we realize exactly how important Larry Fitzgerald is to our offense. I honestly feel like when he is out on the field, you know, they got to figure out, okay, are we going to double Fitzgerald? Are we going to double Hopkins? You know, and he's so important with that 10 to 15 yard, catch area that we're missing that. And I really feel like when we get him back, I think it is going to give the offense a little bit more of a boost because, again, it just makes it a little bit more difficult for the other team. But, again, I think the defense needs some help as well. Looking at that game yesterday, it seemed like every time the Rams got the ball, they were in our territory or in the red zone. And, I mean, they made some crucial plays, you know, but those are just bonuses. Mm. So, anyways, that's my 2 cents, guys. Love the show. Talk to you guys soon.
Yeah, nice of you, Don.
Excellent call right there, honestly. It really is. Larry Fitzgerald, there's no doubt about it. His intangibles and the tangibles that he brings to a field, they can't be measured with human hands. Having said all that, this problem existed before Larry actually missed games. This problem was moved all the way back when you think about it at the beginning of November. This has been a problem with the Arizona Cardinals and their offense right now being on the same page, being in sync. And although Larry would help tremendously, There's no doubt about it. I think this precedes Larry in the fact that he missed these last two games.
I totally agree with you, but one thing that's interesting is I've really struggled. I don't think they've done a great job using Larry this year. But the reason why I so strongly agree with the last caller is Christian Kirk has four catches in the last two games. So without Larry, you're getting almost nothing from Christian Kirk. It's a lot easier to take him out of the game. Steve in Phoenix, good morning, Steve. You're on with Doug and Wolf. What's the one thing this team has to do today to win a football game?
I think it's basic fundamental football. Kyler Murray, he needs to protect that ball more. That's three times he let it go because he's one hand in the ball scrambling. If he doesn't pick six it and we make that field goal, it's a tie game, minus the production. So they're doing a lot. The other thing is coaching. If you listen to Humphrey's interview, he's talking about why Arnold got in the backfield. Well, then who's going to take Dan Arnold if he's got to take the other guy? There's a lot of basic football that's being missed coaching-wise. And then you guys are making the point on the plays. I don't understand why they can keep running the same scheme, and every play the defense is surprised as to what they're going to do, and they're not adapting quick enough. That all that's coaching, and I think that they have the talent, but they're not being coached well enough. And I think Kingsbury, he really needs to adapt NFL-style football and stop what he's doing in the terms of trying to make his style. There's a lot of basic NFL things that he doesn't do on offense that's missing, that a lot of teams do that are staples. Goal line, they don't have the corner fade pass, or where the tight end misses the block and he goes to the corner of the end zone for the pass. They don't do that stuff. And I think,
Steve, I don't feel like I'm hanging up on you. I want to jump in because there's a lot of people on hold. And with the question being, what does this team need to do to win now? I want to keep it to like one or two topics, and you got to about topic seven. I don't want Cliff to stop what he's doing. I want Cliff to add to what he's doing.
Correct.
There's a difference there.
Correct.
So you're not really wrong when you say do some more basic things too and do them well. You're right, but don't throw away. I mean, we are talking about an offense that a lot of teams have had trouble stopping.
That's right.
It's just now that they figured out this part of it, add to it.
Add to it. You need an addition right now. You need something. You need to expand the football universe. That's what they need.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not always I have to out-scheme the other team.
No.
Sometimes it's just throw it to D-Hop. Throw it to that guy.
No.
Let's go to Greg in God's country, Goodyear, Arizona. Come buy a house and build new restaurants. Greg, good morning. You're on with Doug and Wolf. What does this team need to do to win again?
Yeah, good morning. I'm just wondering how much Kyler Murray being under center, selling the play action, rather than being in shotgun would be more beneficial to this team. I think him being under center would be helpful, but also him running – east to west, I think teams that watch enough film, they're just sitting and waiting. And also if how much his shoulder is playing a factor in him running upfield. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good morning.
Thank you, Greg.
Absolutely. A very good phone call right there. Let me just say this. I know the shoulder was fine. I think the shoulder was fine with Kyler Murray. I think he'd tell you that.
Let's go to Robert at Chandler. Robert, good morning. What does this team need to do to win a game?
Good morning, guys. Well, disappointing loss yesterday, but let's not panic. Fitzgerald's coming back. I believe he converts third downs, and I know people have really – I don't know the numbers on that, but he does. He converts third downs, so I'll harp on that. Second of all, I think just use all your weapons. We have a lot of great weapons, but don't get stuck on one weapon. I like the way they – you know, when they're winning and they're playing their best, I think, you know – they're running the ball with both backs and keeping it going, keep it flowing. There's no rhythm with the offense, and that's the main problem. I'm not going to panic about it. I didn't like the lack of confidence I felt that I saw in the Cardinals. Well, the Rams they looked confident in that game yesterday, and that was disturbing for me. But winning, you know, breeds confidence, and I think that just getting back on the page and flowing the flow of the ball, the flow of the game, and play your game. Don't play everyone else's game.
Thank you, Robert. Here's the thing, though. You said you didn't really feel like the offense, you just need to get some confidence going. Here's the problem. The Rams came into this game with very little confidence. there were people openly questioning whether or not Jared Goff should be the quarterback of that team. And he's been a turnover machine with six interceptions in his last four games. And the Arizona Cardinals defense didn't get any of those interceptions. And every time the offense went three and out, guess what that did? It built the confidence of the Rams. The offense kept saying, hey, we keep getting these opportunities. We are going to be the ones that get in the flow. So I understand what you're saying, but how do you get confidence?
Yeah.
You improve your offense so you're not going three and out all the time. We're not even talking about a 7-play, 8-play drive with no points that at least flips the field. We're talking about three and out, and you're done.
I have to wonder right now just how confidence or the lack of confidence this offense has, ladies and gentlemen. When you sit there and you talk about it, and you must remember this, confidence is the currency of competition. It is, period. I don't care what it is that you're doing. Confidence and being confident in whatever task is at hand right now, that is what you use to buy and sell when you start competing against another human being. And I'm talking about physically competing against another human being who's trying to keep you from doing your job. You're trying to beat him. He's trying to beat you. Driving the spear to the ground, you shall not pass. Confidence is what you need. And I wonder where the confidence level is with this offense right now. And I'm talking not about Kyler Murray. I'm talking about everybody on the offense.
Hmm. Well, one of the things that was really difficult to kind of get a handle on is why Kyler looks lost right now. And that's what it feels like. Why does he look lost? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
Arizona Cardinals, and you may have remembered that this was true. 5-2 at one point in the season, getting ready to play the Miami Dolphins. 5-2, and right there for a potential number one seed in the playoffs, and now not in the playoffs due to tiebreaker with the Minnesota Vikings. And if you want to know why they have the tiebreaker, they're 2-0 against Detroit and Carolina, and the Cardinals are 0-2. DJ Humphreys, how'd you go from 5-2 to 6-6?
I'm not sure. Like I said, I'm not sure at all to tell you exactly what it is. But, from my perspective of me doing my job, I think it's just a little things, you know. I feel like from Monday to Saturday, we have a great week. She's just bringing those great weeks to Sunday.
And the Vikings started everybody now 1-5 this season, and now they have the final wild card spot. That's remarkable as well. Doug, I see your DJ Humphreys soundbite, and I bring you this. What's wrong with the offense, DJ?
Just not on the same page as the unit. I would have to look at the film and tell you, like, you know, exactly what was happening. But for the most part, it just seemed like we were all off kilter as a unit.
Kyler Murray looks lost to me, guys. That is one of the problems right there. He looks lost. Why is he lost? That is the question that I ask. Why does he appear to look that way? That's the question that I have. Why does he look out of sorts? Why are they out of sorts offensively? There's questions out there that exist. He's lost because he's not really seeing the field. Is that the possibility? He's lost because his receivers are busting assignments all over the field. He's lost because he doesn't understand the offense. He's lost because he needs to run the ball to throw the ball. I don't know what it is, but he looks confused to me, frankly. It looks like he's locking in on one receiver, looking at one guy the whole time. I don't know what his issues are, but based on what I see on the field, Kyler Murray looks lost at the moment.
And I know you got to go back and watch the All-22, Wolf, but just off the top of your mind, after watching yesterday's game and realizing that Jalen Ramsey a lot of times did shadow DeAndre Hopkins, obviously, but to what degree, to what percentage do you think that they played zone coverage against Kyler?
Okay. A lot.
So I wonder, if that's part of this Big Red blueprint that has confounded and confused Kyler to a certain degree. Is he a different quarterback against zone coverage? And does he, for whatever reason, struggle to go through his reads and decipher who exactly might be open? Is it a matter of the receivers not winning their matchups and or finding the soft spots in the zone? I know the caller came in and cited Larry, and we can have that argument, but Larry is a master at finding the soft spots in that zone and creating space and knowing where exactly to be with 17 years of experience. So that's always a great outlet valve, obviously on third down where the Cardinals were 0-for-4 in the first half. But it just seems to me the reason that he's holding onto that ball for so long is because of that indecisiveness and how much of that has to do with zone coverage.
It just seems like, were we not talking about the lack of targets Larry Fitzgerald was receiving earlier in the season, right?
Yep.
I mean, the first
yep.
half of the season, right. We're all talking about the lack of targets.
Does just the specter of number 11 the Hall of Famer, somehow draw coverage to Larry and open up other guys? Was there a trickle-down effect they're missing now?
Yeah, who knows right now, but the game plan against Kyler Murray is obvious right now. You keep Kyler Murray in front of your defense. You keep him right there. You play heavy on the edge. You keep him in the pocket. You make him throw the ball in front of you. You keep Kyler Murray in front of you. You play zone. So instead of a spy, now it's all 11 guys looking at the cue. All 11 in case he pulls the ball down and runs. You got to force him to beat you with his arm, not his legs. That is the one thing, once again, over and over and over again, as you look at the month of November, this is exactly the way defensive coordinators have approached Kyler Murray. Hey, let him throw the ball.
Okay. So,
that's what you want him to do, is throw the ball.
So, on paper at least, how do you beat that? What is the plan? What do you draw up in the dirt to beat that? What exactly is the vulnerability of that sort of defensive scheme?
Yeah, chunk throws are what you're missing right now, right?
Absolutely.
Chunk throws, Paulie. So,
your longest throw is Keyshawn Johnson on 4th and 12.
Stop and think about the bash and bomb offense. Think about that right there. Bruce Arians, what he used to do. Run into the pile. Play action. Pull it out. Throw the ball down the field. It works. It's been around for a long, long time. It works. Now, all of a sudden, take a look at what Jared Goff did in the Rams. They had this offense was predicated on the tackle zone and the bootlegs that come off of it and the waggles to the weak side. It's a bootleg to the weak side of the formation. And also just the straight play action, throw the ball. It's chunk throws because the second level is impacted. Now, that means you got to put your quarterback under center. That's the thing I don't know. I know this much. Cliff Kingsbury doesn't like the idea of putting his quarterback under center.
Doesn't
like that at all.
I don't think it's in the playbook.
The question is why? Why doesn't he like that at all? Because we saw it. Remember in the preseason, Paul?
A little bit, you're right. That's
right. We've seen him taking snaps from center. They get into it, 12 personnel, put a tight end on either side, go with a check with me, tackle zone, package of plays, and then that was it. We actually saw it a couple of times in preseason games
in 2019. Yeah, it's not really our deal right now.
So it's not their deal. It isn't their deal. The question is, why isn't it their deal? And maybe is this a fundamental point where the Arizona Cardinals need a paradigm shift?
Cliff, what did you think of Kyler's performance?
I thought that he continued to play hard and compete when things were going bad. I thought he came back in the second half, continued to give us a chance. Kept us in it there. Obviously, he got out of control there late, but he kept his poise, kept his composure, and about as tough a day as you can have there in the first half. So I thought that was a step for him in the right direction.
Cliff, why are you afraid to say it? What is it about us in the media or the fans? Because nothing you said was wrong, but why can't you finish with, but his fumble and his pick six really hurt us? Like, why do you just avoid that comment? Why can't you allow yourself to go there? Is it a disdain for the media? Do you think it's not going to do anything? Do you believe that every player in that locker room totally trusts you, Cliff, in how you're holding Kyler accountable? If they do, then you handle that great. You don't owe the media or fans anything. But if they don't, this is the difference between college coaching and pro coaching right here. And we're not seeing it. We're not seeing the difference.
Well, and I brought up during the Paulie Pigskin report, do you pull a Sean McVay and actually name a name and cite someone like he did with Jared Goff a week ago, something Sean McVay historically have been loath to do, never, ever would put the blame on anyone except himself, and that has been the MO for Cliff Kingsbury. So do you change that up? But look, if he hasn't been willing to cite Zane Gonzalez, for example.
Yeah.
And he's only been positive about Zane Gonzalez, and he's certainly not going to name his franchise quarterback, at least not yet.
Yeah, no, that's a good point right there, Paulie.
And I would say that would be a reason to name your franchise quarterback, to wake everybody else up, too.
And also, too, when I sit here and I talk about what it is that I would do, what I think they need to do and things of that nature, Basinonians, believe me, Cliff Kingsbury knows more about this game in his pinky than I will ever know, period. Okay, but I'm frustrated like everybody else and grasping for straws right now. And to me, I think one thing is clear right now. Defenses have figured out the Arizona Cardinals offense. Can I get an amen on that?
Oh, yeah.
I think they have figured out what is going on in the month of November. That has become crystal clear. Sitting there at 5-2, coming out of October. Now, all of a sudden, there you are into November. And guess what? They have figured you out. What are you going to do about it? I don't know. Is it just better execution? Is that what it is? Is it how much of this is falling on the shoulders of Kyler? How much of this is him just locking on to one receiver and not going through any type of progression, if there is a progression?
I said this earlier, Paul. I don't know if you heard it, but I'll add to it now. Did you see that Jalen Hurts came in? And played the whole most of the second half.
Yeah, I did see that.
Did you see that? So would you say Carson Wentz has been struggling this year?
Yes.
Can you name the starting quarterback of the Cincinnati Bengals right now?
No. Oh, boy.
Brandon Allen came in, and Ryan Finley's also doing some starting. Why did I bring up the Eagles and the Bengals? They're the only two teams with fewer yards per game in their last three games than the Cardinals.
Wow.
So when we talk about have the other defenses figured it out,
right?
Doesn't mean they figured out everything. Doesn't mean no. Cliff Kingsbury can't overcome it. But this is now officially real that only teams that are struggling this horrible right now offensively are worse than yours. That, I mean, and if he wants to deny that or say, hey, I'm the coach of the sixth best offense in the league, okay, fine. But then you're in denial. That's head in the sand stuff. In three games, which is a large enough sample size to say, defenses are doing this, what are you doing to adjust? Only the Eagles and Bengals are worse than you right now.
Because what's remarkable, and we talked to kick this around in the postgame show, the Cardinals came in top five in most every rushing metric in the NFL. Yet if they're employing these 5- and 6-man defensive lines, Wolf, does that eliminate also the dual purpose of keeping the quarterback in the pocket? And also stymieing and stifling the Cardinals' run game. It's not just Kyler, but it's also the run game that, at least on paper and based on a lot of these stats, has been pretty darn effective, and now that's been bottled up.
Yeah, absolutely. And once again, I'm not talking about scrapping everything the Arizona Cardinals do. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about an addendum, too.
Coming up next, what needs to change today, this week? How are they going to go about it? Coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Your home for everything Arizona Cardinals. 98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Big Red Monday with Doug and Wolf. Presented by Sanderson Ford.
It's time to circle the wagons. Come together and figure out a solution. And the only way you're going to do it is if something motivates you to get it done. And sometimes anger at someone else is a good thing.
Really?
The way that I look at the system is that system to me is only good for 7, 8, 9 wins. It's not good for those 14, 15 wins that you will need to win a Super Bowl. The goal is to win a Super Bowl, I would think, in Arizona. The goal is to win a Super Bowl, not just to have a, you know, be third in the division, win 8 games. Look, there's we made progress. That's not the goal. When they hired Cliff Kingsbury, the goal was to win a Super Bowl. When they traded Josh Rosen and went and got the Heisman Trophy winner, that they can plug into a system that he was in college, whether it was Texas A&M or Oklahoma or high school, they said, okay, we got a dynamic guy who can run our offense, which is true. The problem is that style does not work for longevity in the National Football League. I wouldn't give a damn who you ask.
That is Keyshawn Johnson from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Subin, who has been on a one-man attack run all year against the Arizona Cardinals offense. And the difficulty thing is, when you listen to a lot of the things he said, they're just simply factually incorrect, but they end up being right in totality by the time that it's
over.
That's
right.
And that's how it feels right now.
I'm just telling you with my eyes, you could ask, you could poll as many defensive coordinators as you want. They will all say to you that I really don't want to be a part of a team with an offense like that because it puts my defense in harm's way.
He's continuing to say this, and the reason being is because of time of possession right there once again. Time of possession. Now, listen, there's no doubt about it. Yesterday was bad. Yesterday was awful, as a matter of fact. There's no doubt about it. That defense was out there for a long, long time. But for the most part, ladies and gentlemen, that is just inaccurate, period. It has not held up game in, game out. For the overwhelming majority of games, the Arizona Cardinals' time of possession has not been a big deal at all.
And here's the thing when we talk about time of possession. I don't think it was a big deal yesterday in the way that Keyshawn Johnson is saying it. There's a difference. It was a huge deal because the Rams waited till 5 seconds on every play clock and because the Cardinals went three and out. But the Cardinals weren't going three and out and snapping the ball with 20 seconds left on the play clock. It wasn't like they were in the Chip Kelly hurry up and going three and out. The Chip Kelly Oregon hurry up and going three and out is a disaster on your defense. This wasn't because of the system of hurry up that they went, that they were struggling. They went three and out because they stunk. And it was had nothing to do with pacing whatsoever, and that's why time of possession became a very important stat.
Look, this is what Russell Wilson has had to deal with up in Seattle. When he was a rookie, he really impressed. He surprised everybody. Year two, year three, everyone said, okay, this is what we're going to do. I know this, ladies and gentlemen, right? Because I know Todd Bowles did this exact same thing. This is what we're going to do. We're going to rush five. We're going to keep Russell Wilson in the pocket. We're going to close everything around Russell Wilson. We're going to go ahead. We're going to play zone. We're not going to play a ton of man. We're going to mush rush him. We're going to keep our eyes on him. We're not going to let him out. And Russell Wilson beat that defense. He beat it. Now, listen, the Seattle Seahawks had a completely different offense. Did they get into the shotgun? Yes, they got into the shotgun. Would they get into the pistol? Yeah, they got into the pistol. But guess what? Russell Wilson also went under center. It's an expansion of the football universe, not a contraction of the football universe. I'm not saying that's the end-all, be-all. I'm not saying that's the answer. There could be something fundamentally wrong with the Arizona Cardinals offense, something that is much more insidious than going out there and just not being good enough to complete a scheme or execute a scheme. Yeah. You go back, who knows the intangibles and the chemistry that is going on inside the locker room. I don't know what it is, ladies and gentlemen, but when I see a talented team like the Arizona Cardinals have, when I see offensive players that are some of the best in the league, when I see them struggling to impact games, you have to ask yourself the question why. I'm sorry. You have to ask the question why. Why all of a sudden DeAndre Hopkins would be a second half adjustment? This is something rudimentary. It's something so base, it's ridiculous.
But it's a vitally important question. Are you not designing plays for D-Hop? Is there poor execution from everybody else that you can't get him?
Are you game planning it where you want to try to get others involved?
Is it Kyler not seeing, hey, D-Hop's in single coverage, throw him the ball. Don't, as Paul said earlier, don't be afraid of Jalen Ramsey, trust him. Or is it D-Hop? Are you a problem? I don't know what it is, but you have to ask it and figure it out because, Cliff, that was an epic fail, and you as head coach need to take the blame for it. Now, truthfully, I don't know really what it was, but if Kyler's not willing to do it, I'm not saying bench him, of course, but you as head coach, get in his face. Throw him the ball, and you don't wait till halftime to do it. You do it in the first quarter. You get it done. I realize the Browns have been through three different offenses, so it's kind of a loose connection here. Right. But if I take a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback out of Oklahoma, pick number one overall, Baker Mayfield year one, 93.7 quarterback rating.
Yeah.
Year two, fell on his face, 78.8. Right now he's at a 97.9 this year. Is there something in year three that's got him going? And I don't want to sacrifice year two here.
Yeah,
this isn't
sure.
like, hey, just throw it away. But I do look at what Kevin Stefanski brought in is some of the things that was Oklahoma-ish for Baker and a lot of things that are, here is a pro-style offense. Let's do both. And Baker was fantastic yesterday.
Fantastic.
If you didn't see him, he threw four first-half touchdown passes. Have you ever heard of it? I never saw him play. But have you ever heard of a named Otto Graham?
Yes.
It was the first time since Otto Graham, a Browns quarterback, had four touchdown passes and a half.
Wow.
Okay?
Seriously?
That means
wow.
something's going on there in
okay.
Cleveland that they've got it right with their Heisman Trophy winning number one pick out of Oklahoma. And it's an advancement. It's combining Oklahoma and a pro set. Cliff, is that asking too much? Is that asking too much to be able to go there, to accept teams have figured you out? Are you going to change?
Yeah, it's not really our deal.
It needs to be now. It needs to be your deal. I should say change. I don't like change. Change means
absolutely.
Screw up what you're doing or change what you're doing. No, no, no. Add to what you're doing. Your plays will work when the other team stops sitting on it. So you now have to adjust right. to what they're sitting on to get them back. You've heard this phrase million times. Keep them honest.
It's just so amazing, based on our needs, because you know me right now. I am an old school guy. There's no doubt about that. I am an old school guy, and I love 21 personnel where you bring a fullback in, you get into the I formation, and you run the ISO, based on our needs. You run the power. You run seven-man slide protection. But guess what? I don't want to see that every time. I don't. I'm old school as it gets, and yet at the same time, my friends, I don't want to see it every play. This is why I love what Kevin Stefanski has done with the Cleveland Browns. He's taken Baker Mayfield, put him under center, and they've gone with 21 personnel, and they put him in shotgun, and they put him in pistol, and they've got the entire repertoire of plays. From the old in the new, and that's what I love. But ladies and gentlemen, make no mistake about it, you all have to be on the same page. Even Bruce Arians with Tom Brady, he lets Tom Brady actually pick the plays he likes. The head coach has got to do that with his quarterback. You can't ask your quarterback to go out there and execute plays he doesn't like, he doesn't believe in. That's just counterintuitive. To try to ask a quarterback to go do it if he doesn't like it. Now the question becomes, why doesn't he like it? Why? I don't know. Is that a question that needs to be asked of Kyler Murray? Do you mind getting under center? I don't know. That's a question I would ask him if given the opportunity. Do you have a problem with that? He might answer, heck yeah.
It's funny
you
bring
it up. There's no reason to put me under center.
I can't wait to 9 o'clock today for those of you that are ASU fans. Herm Edwards will join us. And I have been screaming forever, get him under center, get him under center. And the people that disagree will always say, since that's not their deal, since that's not what they practice enough, you cause a lot of problems. You can fumble the ball. And you're like, what? Execute a snap. Guess what happened to ASU?
Fumble the ball.
They're at the 1 yard line. They went under center and they fumbled.
Yeah.
So we'll talk to Herm Edwards about that coming up at 9 o'clock. Up next, it's time for your Rush Hour reboot. This game sadly told us a lot about the Cardinals. Now, how do they fix it? It's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.